Praise the Lord. It's such so good to see this crowd out. It almost looks like a Sunday morning in here, Brother Remy. That's good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I like that. Amen. Revival could kick off tonight. There's nothing holding it back, I'll tell you. But it is so good to see all of you. I'm thankful that you're here tonight. And I wanted to make mention of this also. I've been talking to preacher Andy Watson. And so the second week of October, we're planning to have our revival services here at Mount Lebanon. So I wanted to make that announcement. We intend on starting Sunday night at 6 o'clock that Sunday and then go through Wednesday night. We'll see how the Lord leads and what have you. But Monday through Wednesday to start at 7. But looking forward to that. Been talking to Preacher Andy and Brother Luke, Preacher Luke there off and on a little bit the last couple of weeks or few weeks, and kind of had them on my heart for a while, Brother Andy on my heart. So I wanted to make that announcement to the church. And again, just really excited to be here. Brother Remy's doing pretty good. We shook hands. His hands were cold. I said, "Brother, that's a good sign." So that's a real good sign right there. That's most often when my hands are cold, the Lord's up to something. And I tell you what, they say, cold hands, warm heart. I think something like that. But I tell you what, church, just be in prayer for Brother Remington. Just very thankful for what the Lord's doing here. It's amazing to see our young people. And little Lucy on Sunday, she'd been asking for prayer for some time and showing interest and asking questions about salvation. Just thankful again what the Lord's doing there. He's moving and He's working. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what He's doing with CFC, our group. It's good to see Brother Tyler back there. Thankful he's here tonight. And just all around excited about what the Lord is doing. It's a good time to be in church. I just want you to know that. I wonder, well, we'll have objects of prayer after the service and what have you. But let's be in prayer for Brother Remington. I think I probably held him off long enough now and probably chomping at the bits ready to go. But it's good to see his good friend, Brother Chris Vance. Preacher, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer before we get started this afternoon?
Our Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, God. We just thank you for the good attendance here, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with Brother Remington tonight. Just help him, God, just take the nerves away, Lord. Just give him what he needs to say, God. Just let you come through him, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this church and this beautiful city, God. We just pray that you'll help us keep us and guide us. In precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. I appreciate that.
For room to come on.
Amen.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Love you.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Been looking forward to this for a while. Bear with me, I'm nervous. Very, very nervous. While I'm getting everything set up here, will you turn to Matthew chapter 23? So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. I think this chapter holds a lot of good stuff in it. So just bear with me, it might take a minute, but
amen.
I'm going to break down certain parts of the scripture into little pieces and then go off of that. But right here, Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that them are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater than gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift of the altar than sanctifieth gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, and sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Though blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I'm going to stop there. Father God, I just thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to get up here and preach to my home church, Lord. I thank you and praise you for allowing me to be the man of God that you desire, Lord. I pray and I pray for everyone in this church, Lord. I love them all. I'm so thankful that they're all here for my first time preaching, Lord. I pray that you have me to say what you want me to say, Lord, and get my point across, Lord. I just thank you and praise you for everything you've done in my life, and I just love you. Amen. So, I think history is important when reading the Bible. It tells you what, you know, it gives you a little better description of what was actually going on. So if you don't know, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is publicly denouncing the actions of the Pharisees and scribes. It's his last week of life. So he's letting them know that God is angry about their acts of hypocrisy. Just their self-indulgence, worrying about nobody but them. So if you want to look at verse 13 with me, I'll read it. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in." So if you look at verse 13, he's telling the Pharisees that they have prevented people from going to heaven and will not enter heaven themselves. I feel like a lot of times, you know, sometimes I know that people are bad to judge or other things like that, but I think we just really need to sit down and look at how we appear to the people not in the church. Those people that are not in the church, they need God. And honestly, most of the time, actually almost all of the time, Jesus was going after the people that you never would have guessed were in church. So I just wanted to bring up that point because there are times that you may say something or act a certain way that prevents someone from going to church and just hearing what they need to hear. I know several people, I've talked to them, you know, gave them my testimony, tried to evangelize, you know, just ask them, why don't you go to church? And a lot of them, they'll tell me, you know, people of the church, you know, church is just full of hypocrites. Church is just full of a bunch of liars. And I hate that it's come to that point. And I hate that people feel like that because that's just not how it is. And I think that a lot of churches do have issues with that. I feel like at this church, we got a lot of good people in this church. And I love this church. So I just encourage all of us to just really think about how we are evangelizing to everyone and how they might not understand where we're coming from. Just because, and that's okay. Really, all you need to do is just plant the seed. Our job is to evangelize, and God will handle it from there. So, secondly, I want to look at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So right here, Jesus is telling them that they have focused on unimportant justices of the law rather than being merciful and gracious as Jesus was to us.
Right.
I feel like as a church, and I know I have personally, I've heard things in my life that I thought were true, and when I actually read the Bible, it wasn't in there. So it's really important to know what you are actually saying and what you are actually claiming to know when you are evangelizing to people.
Amen.
And right here, he's just wanting us to act like Jesus. This is Jesus talking, but he wants us to act like him.
Amen.
You know, there were times that I'm sure people committed crimes, and he looked past that because the greater good is to see them, go into the gates of heaven. Rather than putting their past above them or preventing you from talking to them thinking that they're just a lost cause. No one is ever a lost cause. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Amen.
No one is ever too far gone. There's always hope.
Amen.
So I just want to stress that and the importance of just letting them know that it is never too late. I think it's really important. Even for me, I know in my life there's points in my life I got to, and you know, I thought there's no way I can be saved. There's no way I'm going to be forgiven for this, but I was.
Amen.
And I think
Amen.
That people just need to know that, especially the people that have not been in church. That's another thing. I'm lucky. I was raised in church.
Amen.
Been in church my whole life, and I still struggle. So I can't imagine someone that has not ever been to church. And the struggles that they go through. I can't even imagine what goes through their head on a daily basis. So I ask that we just try to do better when we're talking to people, you know, just letting them know. Church is a family.
Amen.
Okay? Church is a family, and a lot of them have been to churches that the church isn't the family. So I'm just glad that we do have a church here that is a family, and I just love this church. So.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Okay. If you would look at me, let's see, look at verse 25 and 26. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So what Jesus is saying here is... We should not conceal the promise of eternal salvation from people.
Right.
It was hard for me. We're told to be fishers of men. We're told to go and tell all the nations. And what he's saying here, you know, is it's kind of self-indulgent for me to say, okay, I'm saved. Why go help anyone else be saved? Because I'm protected. But when you have a relationship with Christ, you know, you are supposed to care about those people and want to see them go to heaven.
Right.
I can tell you right now, it made a big difference for me as far as telling people about Christ when I saw them and I imagined them asking me when I got to heaven why I never told them or why I never evangelized to them and told them what they could have had. I'll tell you right now, an eternal life in hell is not worth you not telling somebody.
Amen.
You know, that's a scary thought. They probably aren't thinking about that because, you know, a lot of people that don't go to church, there's a lot that know kind of Christianity. It's intertwined with American values, I would say. But they really don't understand the relationship you have to have. You know, it's more than coming to church. It's more than reading your Bible. You have to actually talk to God. You have to ask God for things. You have to have a relationship with God. You know, good deeds and what you do for people, how many times you came to church, that is not going to matter. I mean, that's not going to matter when you die. When you are judged, it's going to be based on your servant of you being a servant of God, but mostly if you were saved or not. I mean, it comes down to just if you asked to be saved and if you had a relationship with God. So I just want to stress the importance of, you know, sometimes I was that way before I was saved. You know, I'd come to church, I'd tell people I was a Christian, I'd wear a cross necklace on, you know, but then I'd go get drunk, you know, cussing, acting a fool, and it shouldn't be like that. And that's why a lot of people that aren't in church call us hypocrites, and I had to realize that.
Yeah.
I wore a cross on my neck, and I wasn't representing Christ. So I just want to say, you know, we represent something much bigger than ourselves, and it's very, very important to take it serious. Very, very important to take it serious.
Amen.
Okay. If you look at 27 through 28 with me. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So what he's saying here, he's pretty much telling them that they look as whitewashed tombs. They appear righteous on the outside, but they aren't righteous on the inside. I feel like a lot of times, you know, and that goes back to what I was just saying a second ago, being a good representation of what Christ is. It's easy to tell people you're a Christian. It's easy to tell people that you go to church, you believe in God, you know, wear a cross necklace. But what God really cares about is your inwardly righteousness. He also wants you to be outwardly righteous, because that's what lost people see. But the inwardly righteous part is between you and God.
Right.
So that's a much bigger deal. You definitely have to hold God close. You have to make sure that, like I said, you have a good relationship with God. And here's my thing. The same God that was angry at the Pharisees that long ago is the same God that there is now.
Right.
You know, he treats all this stuff the same. Nothing's changed. So if he's talking about them like this back then, I'm sure he believes the same thing now.
Right.
So everything that has been stated here in Matthew 23 is still applicable.
Amen.
And I just want to stress the importance of, you know, right here in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Right there, Jesus is telling us how angry God is at how these Pharisees and scribes are acting. He referred to them as serpents or vipers, which was very offensive back then. I mean, that's about as low as you could get back then. That's a big deal. He did not like their actions. He was not pleased with how they were treating everyone. So let's see here. I just at your day of judgment, God sees everything. Even though you think you're hiding it from, trying to hide it from yourself maybe, and hiding it from everyone else, God sees everything. He knows your every thought. He knows your every action. He knows everything you do behind closed doors. He knows what you're doing. And at our day of judgment, nothing will be hidden. Every single thing that you've done in your life will be brought up and be judged upon. So I just want to encourage us to be a Christian all of the time, not just not when you're centered. And sometimes it might be rough. You might be around people that aren't Christian. It might be scary to be like that. But, I mean, put on the armor of God is what I've got to say. If he is with me, no one shall be against me. I just want to stress the importance of being a Christian all the time. It's not part-time. It's all or nothing. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be partly in it. You have to be all the way in it. So I just think right here, God is really telling us how important it is to have a relationship with God. And here's another thing about Matthew 23 that people like to bring up. You know, they're talking about how just grim God seems. And this is, I've watched a bunch of sermons of preachers saying the same thing. You know, atheists and stuff, they want to bring up that God is wrathful. God is just bloodthirsty. You know, he is to the people that are not with him. But I'm thankful that I serve a God that gives us the option to be on his team. I'm thankful that he gives us the the ability to be saved and the ability to be protected. You know, in this walk, if it was easy, everybody would do it. I tell people that, you know, Christ, being a Christian is not easy, but it is very worth it. When you reach heaven one day, you'll be thankful for all the times you did come to church, all the times you prayed to God, all the times you did everything that you were commanded to do. And I just see that it would be a lot more worth it than you would ever imagine.
Amen.
Let's see. Okay, so I've got a couple questions. I'm gonna close with this. I've just got a couple questions that I would like us to think on as we go through our day-to-day life. Are we living like a Pharisee, or are we living like someone that has a relationship with Christ? We need to know this. You know, you should know if you have a relationship with Christ. I can tell you this from a personal testimony. When I used to sin, it didn't hurt me. It didn't affect me. I felt a little bit of I felt ethically bad about it. But when I started having an actual relationship with God, I was disgusted. I was disgusted at what I was doing. Yeah. I realized that every sin that I was committing, Jesus died for. He was beaten to death for. And that I was just so unworthy of what has been given to me and everybody here. So that's a question I would like to ask tonight. I just want to emphasize how important it is, because this is pretty much the theme of this message. And I was talking to Brother Bradley the other night. I saw him after I'd ate supper after Sunday service, and he asked me what my sermon was on. And pretty much the essential question is, are you living in religion or relationship? And when I said that, Brother Bradley, he looked at me and said, "That's good." He said, "A lot of religion has sent a lot of people to hell." And that is the honest truth. Sometimes it's easy to get trapped up in the ways that a Christian should look, a way that a Christian should act. But actions speak louder than words. You can tell someone you're doing something, but it has no significance unless you actually do that. And I feel like that's why a lot of our people that are lost are turning from the church. They see Christians say one thing, but then they do the other. And why would anybody want to be part of something like that? So I just want to stress the importance of living for God all the time, just showing people what the immense joy it is to be saved, to be a Christian. I mean, it's a very big deal, and they just need to know how much it could change their life. It should radiate off of us, and testimonies should be deep. Testimonies are the deepest level of evangelism, I think, because it shows them what He did for you. You know, how He pulled you out of the hole you were in and how you are now. Like I said, no one is ever too far gone, and I just want to stress the importance of evangelizing, most importantly, taking God seriously, making sure you're not getting trapped up in the ways of religion, per se. But really just having a relationship with God on a personal basis, a personal level, knowing Him, knowing what He wants you to do, knowing what He doesn't want you to do, and pretty much just growing your relationship with Christ. So that's all I've got tonight. Does anybody have any questions?
I appreciate the message, Jared. That was great.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Well, if that'll be it, I'm going to ask Brother Jason to come up here and finish off the service. And thank you, guys. I appreciate you, and I love you all very much. I really do. I appreciate you guys being there for me. I appreciate you guys welcoming me into this church and just being supportive for this whole journey. I can't wait to see where this takes me, and I just love you guys. So thank you.